The following is a recent appearance of Dan Perkins on Catherine Raker's live radio show.
Welcome to Catherine Raker's World. Innovation. Culture. Adventure. Fashion and health. Artists. Destinations. Traditions. This is Catherine Raker's World.
Hi, this is Catherine Raker of Catherine Raker's World, and let's just talk. I have the honor of having weekly Daniel Perkins, a renowned expert, our expert in politics and current affairs. He has extensive experience in books and commentaries, radio and television. An accomplished commentator and author, Mr. Perkins has created opinion pieces, children's books, and articles on many topics. Through his writing, he has honed the skill of distinguishing between factual news and misinformation, often exposing the lack of accuracy, neutrality, and clarity in much of today's reporting. Welcome! How are you, Dan?
I'm fine, thank you. And yourself?
Well, this week has been weird, kind of, right?
Yes, especially very much so.
Especially in the news. And I'll tell you what, if the weather doesn't get any better, I'm tired of 90-degree weather.
Yeah, well, I live with it every day. That's what happens in the summertime in Southwest Florida, but we get used to it.
What can you do? Getting on to what we want to talk about today, you know, there's a lot of things in the news. And I'll tell you what, when is Gavin Newsom not going to be governor of California? And please don't elect him as a president. You don't want to see our country in ruins, right?
Right, absolutely. It's important because I want to use this example of Gavin Newsom to point out that the mainstream media, another example of how the mainstream media has not changed to reflect the attitude and the concerns of the American people. They have a redistricting plan in Texas that was up for approval, and the Democratic members of the state legislature did what is called skedaddle. They left the state, so they couldn't get a quorum in their legislature to vote on the redistricting plan. The mainstream media saw them as heroes. Other people didn't see them as heroes. They saw them abandoning their responsibility to their constituents to sit in their chairs and do the work that they were hired to do by the electorate. They finally capitulated, came back, and on the
When did they all come back? Because I heard that there were a couple of them that didn't come back.
They had enough to come back to get a quorum the last day of the special session. They didn't vote on the redistricting plan. Mr. Abbott, the governor, called immediately for the next day to start of another special session where they are going to do this. The issue that which we talked about before the show of why this is an important issue. Texas, like Florida and some other southern states, has benefited from the significant migration of people from California, Illinois, Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and New England, including New York, that have moved out of the states. And so that their number of people has declined. And as a result of a decline in the population, they're going to lose seats in the House. And in the case of Texas, the population shift was so dramatic. The Republican Party is scheduled to pick up, based on the redistricting plan, 5 additional seats in the House. Mm-hmm. Now, for our listeners, there are only 435 seats, period. Mm-hmm. They can't add any more unless they add another state. But it's 435, which means if the Republicans are going to pick up 5 seats in the House, the Democrats are going to lose 5 seats. And so Gavin Newsom, to try and be the hero, decided he was going to change the redistricting plan in California to help offset the 5 seats that Democrats are going to lose. So he was trying to call a referendum for the November ballot to move the responsibility. California has a redistricting commission, and they make the recommendations to the legislature. The legislature doesn't draw the lines. So he wants to have a new, he wants to have a temporary legislation, temporary change in the law to move the responsibility away from the redistricting commission back to the state legislature. But the redistricting commission did a poll of voters, Democrats, Republicans, independents. 63% of the people who responded said no. So what looks like that the special session and the movement of the redistricting back to the state legislature is not going to see the light of day. That's important because it says that Gavin Newsom, on an issue that is important to the Democratic Party, couldn't deliver. And I think that basically his opportunity to run for president, not that he may not still try, but his power to run for president, the nomination of the Democratic Party is toast.
Do you think the way the Democratic Party is today, it will continue to grow or lose more people and go away, fade away? Because honestly, most of the people that are in office that are older leaders are all, a lot of them are socialist. And that's what New York would become if they vote for this guy. Are they thinking, really thinking? Because most of the people that are in New York that are behind him are not poor people. These are
Right.
wealthy people that are liberals.
Right. I think that you're raising an incredibly important issue, and that is what is the survival of the Democratic Party? They don't have a voice. And what I mean by a voice, Catherine, is that one person that the Democratic Party can unite around who speaks the philosophy and the issues that concern the rank and file of the Democratic Party. There isn't that person, at least not yet. And I don't know that there will be. The left is very powerful, very strong. I don't think the Democratic Party will go away, but I think it will diminish in size in terms of representation. And there's a couple of things that will be, I believe, the death knell. If the documents Tulsi and Cash have presented to the Congress are in fact true, and they continue to find more that deals with both Hillary and Bill and Barack Obama, the anchors of the Democratic Party may all be indicted. And I believe that there'll be a lot of Democrats who will walk away. Whether they'll go to Republicans, whether they'll be Republicans or independents, I don't know. I would think they would tend to want to be Republicans. But I think the Democratic Party is a very critical part at the point at the moment. And we're going to talk about it in the second segment, some of those ways that they're really have screwed up really bad. But I think this whole idea of redistricting is gaining more momentum because the American people are beginning to understand what the Democrats have done to manipulate the process.
And on that note, we need to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Okay.
On Rager's World and Let's Just Talk with Daniel Perkins. Give your website, please.
Yes, my personal website for commentaries and danperkins.guru. The foundation website is songsandstoriesforsoldiers.us. And my videos are available on several different places, but Rumble is one, and then the audio radio stuff is at AMFM 24/7.
And we'll be right back.
A Trilogy Plus One by Dan Perkins, The Brotherhood of the Red Nile.
Dan, you owe me a good night's sleep, and I'm really aggravated about it. I read your books, The Brotherhood of the Red Nile, and I got to tell you, I no longer have to take any no-dos or anything like that when I want to stay awake. I just think about the plots of your books. They are absolutely frightening, devastating, in fact. But some of the best reads I've ever had. And I urge everyone to take a look at it. It's a plausible scenario and one that every American should be absolutely aware of.
Available at Amazon.com.
We're back with Dan Perkins, who is our political and current events expert that comes on weekly, and he always brings so much information for us to ponder and to think about and to do something about. So,
Right.
Dan, this week was, we said in the beginning of the show, was very important. And I thought when President Trump went to Alaska that he said if it wasn't going well, he would get up and leave. Well, I thought 3 hours was a long time.
Well,
So,
there's some people were thinking it was supposed to be 7. That primarily was from the left, not from the right. So
way.
the left was disappointed that it was only 3.
Can't go to the bathroom and can't even eat lunch or anything? Give me a break. They don't do
Right,
that.
right, right. And the interesting thing about that to me was that when questioned afterwards about the length of 3 hours, he said we were getting so many concessions from Russia that a lot of the issues were taken care of very quickly. And there's still some big ones to deal with. Putin was there to deal. And we talked about this, and actually you and I talked about this last week before anybody else was talking about, quote, the chess game that Donald Trump was playing with Putin. And I said, if you think about a chessboard and Donald Trump was attacking Putin, he was driving him ultimately as the king into the corner for him to surrender or be captured. And it started off with, and a lot of people didn't see this. When he was in Europe recently with the European Union and negotiated a tariff and a commitment to spend almost $1 trillion on energy and related products in the United States. Of that, $750 billion, that's B as in boy, $1 billion of energy over the next 3 years, or $250 billion of energy are going to be purchased by the European Union from us, which means that $750 billion in energy, and probably more, that isn't being purchased from Russia, that comes out of the economy. Then this past week, he raised the tariff on India to 35% because that India was purchasing 10 times the level of crude oil that they were buying from Russia. And the administration believes they were selling it to other countries. So that could have an impact of, in the next 3 years, $1 trillion of oil and natural gas that would be shipped out of Russia will now be shipped out of the United States, and the Russian economy will not have the income. I believe that's why Putin came to the table,
I
because
think
he
so too.
realized, yeah.
Because
So,
economically, they're not doing well.
and they've lost 1 million people in the Ukrainian war. Russia has lost 1 million people. That's a huge, it's a big country, but 1 million people, the number of household affected by the loss of a child or a husband or an uncle in the war is, as you said, is wearing on the Russian people, and they're tired of this war. And Mr. Trump has had the incredible fortitude to figure out what is the right side to be on, and he steals it from the Democrats. What the reason why he wants this war to stop is not because we gave Ukraine $350 billion or that Europe gave him $100 billion. He wants to stop the death and destruction.
That's
How
right.
do you, as you're a Democrat, how do you say, no, that's, we want to keep on killing people? They can't win on that one. So he
Yes.
put him in a corner. He put Putin in a corner and put the Democrats in a corner. And the Democrats got caught this week also in their manipulation of the crime rate in Washington, D.C., saying it was at a 30-year low. People who have analyzed this crime statistics say, not true, not true. I watched him on Hannity last night, watched the whole interview. He rated it as the.
Hannity there was Hannity in Alaska. He had to be.
Yeah, well, they actually did the interview in the room where they had the meeting.
That's right.
And behind them were the two chairs that the two men sat in to have their discussion. But what he said to Hannity, he gave it a 10 out of 10. And he thinks that Putin really does want to do something. And I think, as you pointed out, economics, losing the oil. And the, what other penalties can the United States impose on him and the Russian people?
I think that that's where Trump has the Trump in the situation. With what we're talking about is that he's got all the cards. He's got
Right.
his Trump cards. And it was really weird when one of the people said, why didn't they give Putin a thing to stand on so he would be equal in height to Trump? And I thought, how stupid is that? I mean, when they're next to each other, you can see how much taller he is. And he did give him the opportunity to talk first, because, and I thought that was a very polite thing to do. And the other thing that I was really impressed with is that Trump didn't go on and on and on after that. He just said it, and then they were disappointed. They said, well, we can't be, this isn't a press conference at all. Well, guess what? They don't need to know until they're done negotiating, period.
Right.
And
You're
I don't
right.
think there should be any leaks at all this time.
I would hope not. I would hope not. It was interesting the when you were talking about the amount of time somebody was keeping track, and for every minute that Donald Trump spoke, Putin spoke 2 minutes. So he had a significant amount of airtime more than Trump, and Trump just let it happen. So the other thing is that there are now, if he's able to settle this war, it will be seven times that he's intervened in countries who were killing each other since he came back to office.
Right.
And
And get the Nobel Peace Prize for that alone.
I agree, but I was thinking last night after I watched Hannity, how will the Democrats spin it if he gets the nomination for the prize? And how will they spin it if he wins it? I think that it's really important that the left print media seems to be capitulating more so than the broadcast media. There was a story yesterday about the fact checker for the Washington Post who left and said he got COVID totally wrong.
Who?
And he apologized. He didn't get a Pulitzer, but he apologized for the people that he got all of this stuff wrong.
Right.
And so they're the news media is in serious trouble in terms of readership and profitability, and they're closing newspapers all over the country because people don't want to go there. This is what one man told me last week. I live in Fort Myers, Florida, and we have one newspaper. And he said, I can get a subscription to the local newspaper for $400 a year, or I can get the Wall Street Journal for 100. I think I'm going to cancel my subscription to News Press because I'm going to get more news out of the Wall Street Journal.
Most
And
people go
that's where.
online. Most people go online. And your news is one of those places that you can go to get everything. And, you know, it's just really sad. But I want to say one thing before we end the show today, because I thought Chuck Schumer needs to leave, needs to retire. I mean, for that stupid thing you said the other day, I don't see anything. I get up and walk around. And then they said, well, he's a special guard. You know, he's got people walking with him and protecting him. The ordinary person doesn't have that.
Yeah,
And
I'm glad you
Trump
brought up
decided to do what he did.
I'm glad you brought up Schumer because I was terribly disappointed
Right.
because of the profanity that he used from the floor of the House and the Senate. And in the Senate, as the minority leader, his profanity that he used, he didn't have to do that. but it's part of the agenda of the Democratic Party
Right.
to become crude and disrespectful to everybody. And they think they're winning the young people's vote because they're using the profanity. I don't think that's true at all. I think they're turning people off.
I think it's totally turning people off, you know. And unfortunately, they have no new ideas.
Exactly correct. And as the economy grows and new jobs are created, and all classes of people, all races of people are lifted with the expansion of the economy, we could, as Mr. Trump hopes, we could be entering into the golden era of the United States. And I think that's very possible. We're seeing things that we've never seen before in this country. Some of them good, some of them bad. But the idea of being able to have millions of jobs, good paying jobs, and I know this is, I was surprised when I heard this on Wednesday. He's only been in office 200 days. 200
He's
days.
done, and look what he's done in 200
And look what he's
days.
done. That's the point. Look what he's done in 200 days. And what's it going to be like in at the end of his term? What is this country going to look like when
Right.
he's done and moving on? I think it's going to be tremendous. And we could be. I know that you like this idea because we've talked about it, but we ran this country until 1913 with no income taxes at all. We ran this country based on the amount of money that we got in tariffs for trade. We're now looking at trillions of dollars of money coming in tariffs and more to come. We could have, by the time Mr. Trump gets ready to leave office, a situation where the income tax book,
Is gone.
it gets tossed in the fire and we simply live off of tariffs.
I believe that. I really believe that. I think that, and I think what I like about JD Vance is you can see him growing like crazy. And I'm so happy. See, you're originally from Ohio, correct?
Yes, ma'am. Columbus, born and raised.
I am really excited. I'm praying that we get a new governor shortly, because the thing that I really want to know is when we're going to start really pumping oil. That's what I'd like to know, because I don't know what it is in Florida, but I can tell you what it is here in Ohio. It's at 3.19 a gallon. That's for regular.
Right, that's what it
And
is here.
right. And it is there too. So when do you think we're going to get that Alaskan oil moving and all the rest of the country moving again as far as that and nuclear power? Because I think nuclear power is going to always be here.
Yeah, nuclear power is going to be a lot faster, a lot harder, and longer. Not maybe not harder, but longer to construct than to drill wells.
Right.
And so I would expect to see a gradual decline in the price of crude oil as we bring on wells between now and the end of the year. And then I would expect to see an explosion in 2026 of oil production, which will flood the market with oil, which will bring, it'll bring down prices. And I
That's
think
right.
we'll see
What do you
that
think
soon.
is going to happen now with the Federal Reserve? And that's what I want to talk about next week, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Is will he ever leave office? Will he ever resign? Or do we have to wait him out?
Well, we might have to wait him out, but I personally believe, and I don't have any inside scoop on this. I personally believe that after the Jackson Hole conference, which is the big Fed conference of the year, there's a good possibility that he may resign in September.
And so, I mean, because the interest rates on housing is high right now in comparison to what it was, so a lot of people don't want to sell their homes. And that's another thing we can talk about, because that really affects the economy.
Yeah. And we've got a situation where we have the Federal Reserve artificially controlling rates when they shouldn't be. And I'm a little concerned, Catherine, because if the crazy Democrat gets elected in New York City, I think we're going to get overrun in Florida.
Oh, I think so too.
People are going to sell their houses and move to Florida and can buy condos or houses or whatever.
Where will
And
Florida be in the ocean pretty soon because of all the housing? Well, I'll tell you what, nobody wants to live in California.
right. No, absolutely
And
not.
I mean, and Massachusetts, same thing. I mean, I'm trying to think, you know, I lived in Jersey. You didn't, you lived in Jersey as well.
35 years.
And when we hit a woman governor in Jersey, it was great. Republican.
Christy Todd Whitman.
Oh,
Yes.
I loved her. She was awesome. Okay. So I'm going to let you go. Have a wonderful weekend. We love having you on our show once a week. And thank you so much for what you do. And
My
thank you for
pleasure.
your service.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. Have a wonderful weekend. Give your website, please.
Foundation is songs and stories for soldiers helping veterans who suffer from traumatic brain injury, PTSD, sleep deprivation, or are contemplating suicide. That's songs and stories for soldiers.us. My video television shows like this are on Rumble, and radio shows are on AMFM 24/7. And then you can also see me on danperkinsmedia.org. And as always, thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for joining us all, or for all of you joining us today on Katherine Raker's World. And let's just talk. We'll see you next week. Don't forget to go to our websites at katherinerakersworld.com and Let's Just Talk stations. And thank you.
That sound of the emergency squad happens 34 times per hour, 24/7 in the United States, carrying someone who's dying from a drug overdose to the ER. 70% of these runs are people who are dying from the vicious drug called fentanyl. Over the last 10 years, 1 million Americans have died from fentanyl. In 2019, 112,000 children ages 12 and 13 were on opioids. The fentanyl overdose rates are rising 2.5 times faster than that of heroin. Now there is an FDA-approved test for the presence of fentanyl in the system. The test is safe, simple, and 99.5% accurate. In just 5 minutes, you can find out if your child, loved one, or employee is using fentanyl. If you want to save someone's life, go to thefentanyltest.com and learn more about this dangerous drug and how you can get your 5-minute test and keep your child out of that squad.
Hello, and welcome to Dan Perkins Media. Here is his recent appearance on the Dove Network.
Welcome back, and it's quite frankly been too long since we had our good friend Dan Perkins with us. He's a political commentator, the host on What's On My Mind podcast, one of the most listened to ones out there. And he's quite the author. He writes historical romance novels entitled Sad Eyes, which is a series. You can check that out. And there's a picture of the cover of the book. A couple places to check in with Dan, danperkins.guru. And he also has an amazing outreach to veterans called Songs and Stories for Soldiers.us. And all of that there available on those websites. Brother Dan, good to see you, friend. How are you, bud?
It's good to see you, sir. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, good to see you. A lot going on here. Well, we went from meeting Putin in Alaska to meeting 8 European leaders yesterday in the White House. Pretty historic. What's your take?
I want to tell you a quick question about that.
Yeah.
My wife asked me this morning, she said, did those 8 ministers stay at the White House or where did they sleep? I said, my guess is they probably went to their embassies. So.
You don't think they all shared the Lincoln bedroom?
Maybe they rotated through. But you know, you never know.
You never know. Well, I don't know if we still have that picture. We had a picture up earlier, but there's a picture out there that was on the news late yesterday afternoon. It's pretty phenomenal. And it shows the president sitting behind the desk in the Oval Office with all 8 European leaders in a semicircle in front of him. Historic picture. So,
no question.
Anyway, what's your take? There it is. I don't know if you can see it at your end.
I can, yes.
Okay,
no, it's,
It's pretty amazing. And you look at this and you go, wow, we've never seen anything like this. So,
and if you take a quick look at that picture and go from my left to right, and you see the big chart on the wall, look who's behind the chart.
Reagan.
You got it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty
looking down on everybody.
So anyway, what do you think of the president's efforts so far and what he's trying to do here?
Historic, amazing, unbelievable. You pick the adjective. I don't care. It, you know, there was a wonderful line that I heard yesterday. In practically any other administration, to bring all of these people together at one time would take years of planning. And he did it in days. Brought them all in. They had meetings. They got together. You could tell by the body language at the other places they were sitting. They were engaged. I mean, I can't think of the last president who was that engaged with the European Union, NATO, or whatever you want to call it now. But clearly, and if you could go back to the picture, if you still got it handy, I think it's important. And I would put a caption on this picture.
Yeah.
Schools in. Mm-hmm. You got the teacher at the desk and all the students in the chairs listening to the teacher.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. You know, I don't want to dwell on this too long, but I guess I'm what amazes me when these stories break at this magnitude, probably mm-hmm. like you, I go to a lot of sources just to see what the continuity is in the reporting. And what's so interesting to me, there is no continuity, and B is he's getting no credit for trying. None. He's still a dumb guy doing a stupid thing. That's just amazing to me.
And he's settled six wars since he's been in office.
Yeah.
And nobody on the left is willing to acknowledge it. And my guess, if he pulls off the victory in Ukraine, the Democrats will, and somebody decides to actually nominate him for the Nobel Prize, if he gets it, it's going to be everybody else is responsible. Trump had nothing to do with it.
Well, apparently Hillary's for it if he settles this one.
Yeah, well, but if he give any land to the Russians, she's not going to nominate him. That was part of her terms and conditions.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's amazing that we have the president of the United States imposing himself in world crisis time and time again, settles it, brings about peace, stops the killing. And he gets no credit. And I have grave concern that it'll be the same thing with this one.
Okay, so let's unpack this a little bit. Why do you think the president had the other seven European leaders come to be with him in meeting President Zelensky?
Overpower Zelensky.
Okay.
Remember the last time they met in the White House?
Mm-hmm.
How aggressive Zelensky was with the president? And how Trump and especially J.D. Vance went after him about his disrespect. He's got a situation where he brought in the cavalry. And that cavalry is the European nations who've decided that they're going to not only give him more money, but they're going to support him, provide some soldiers for peacekeeping. He needed somebody to overwhelm Zelensky to try and get him to take the deal, whatever the deal is. We don't know for sure, but whatever the deal is, go and meet with Putin and strike a deal and get this thing over with. Because the economic opportunity for Russia, the United States, and Europe in the rebuilding of Ukraine is going to be phenomenal, just as much as it's going to be in Gaza. And we want to bring these economies back, and we want to create jobs and bulldoze the rubble out and build all new. It's going to be a tremendous opportunity for the European nations to rebuild Ukraine and the United States to assist, plus the minerals coming out, and we can do the same thing in Gaza. So it's being driven, and I don't mean to put this in a negative sense. I'm putting it in a hopefully a positive sense. We hear so many times the discussion about all these kinds of deals, it's always about the Benjamins. Well, this one is really about first stopping the killing, and then number two, getting the Benjamins to flow into the country to rebuild it.
What kind of pressure does it put on, or did it put on Putin to consider all of these things when the other seven European leaders came with Zelensky?
I think I did a commentary, and I had a discussion with you the last time I was on, about the importance of two negotiations on tariffs. The fact that the European Union agreed to buy $750 billion, that's B with a B, billion, not million, billion dollars worth of American energy, was $750 billion over 3 years. It's not going to flow to the Russian economy. Number two, the tax that he put on India because they've been buying 10 times the oil that they would normally buy from Russia and apparently reselling it, they put a tariff on a 35 and possibly could raise to 50. You're looking at, Russia is looking at the possibility that they're going to lose $1 trillion in revenue coming into their treasury by being forced out of the oil market. That's what I thought ultimately brought him to the table.
Given that scenario, why hasn't the president been equal with this pressure and putting the same kind of restrictions on China buying oil from Russia?
Well, he knows that the only energy that China has in abundance is coal, although they're building a coal-fired plant every week, bringing it online. And they're starting to have to import coal from European nations. I think you don't want to poke the bear too many times or too hard when you got to sit down at the table and share a meal with him. I think what's going on here is he's with these tariffs, China has been incredibly quiet. They're really not saying anything. With the tariffs that he's negotiated, and I say this all the time, and I apologize for being redundant, we are the world's biggest trading partner, bar none. Everybody in the world wants to do business with us. And now with these trade deals coming in where our tariff, which was 100 or 200%, is now down to 15, the opportunity for world trade to expand dramatically creates a problem for China because everybody wants to come into the U.S. market, and these other countries are going to start building in the United States in order to capture market share from the Chinese. And the Chinese economy is slowing dramatically because the ships aren't flowing to the United States because China is having a difficult time to compete with the rest of the nations in the world who are aggressively wanting to be trading partners with the U.S.
So you think that part of this move is to wean Russia away from China and more to Western dollars?
Yes. I mean, if you think about it in this respect, in the history of these two nations, you can count on one hand out of centuries that these people actually talk to each other. They were mortal enemies and have been for centuries. And it's just in the last 5 years, because Russia had something that China wanted and China had something that Russia wanted, that they were able to strike a deal. But is it a love fest? Absolutely not. It's a matter of practicality. And with the tariffs really impacting China and will ultimately impact Russia, the two parties are going to be at each other's throats very soon.
Okay. Back to the meetings here. Part of what came out of this is it looks like Ukraine will not become part of NATO. However, right, the surrounding nations are willing to support them in a protection which would probably come under Article 5, backed by the United States.
Right.
It's kind of like having the protection of NATO without belonging to NATO.
Right.
But this also gives an indication that Ukraine will be accepted in the EU or not.
Well, I think that, first of all, the separation of the EU versus NATO. NATO is a military organization designed to provide security for the member nations. The European Union is a conglomeration of 47 nations in Europe to equalize trade and grow the whole European Union economy. Bringing them in, it will add eventually, as I said, the economic opportunity for the reconstruction of Ukraine is going to be phenomenal, perhaps trillions of dollars. And the reason why Putin brought on the back of the plane all the business people to talk when they were in Alaska, they're already starting to try and figure out what can Russia get out of the deal in terms of revenue from reconstruction and rebuilding of that country. So it really is a situation where those countries around it are providing security. That's not UN, but as Russia is involved, and this is the key. If Russia gets involved in the redevelopment of Ukraine from an economic standpoint, they're going to be hard pressed to want to get in and blow it up.
All right, let me take a quick break. A couple of places to check out Dan's activity. DanPerkins.guru is his main website. Check out his an amazing outreach to veterans, Songs and Stories for Soldiers.us. Check that out. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Dan Perkins, the author of Sad Eyes Book 2. In Book 1, we watch her grow up and develop into an intelligent, practical, and beautiful woman. She knows what she wants to be, and she will not let anything happen that will stop her from reaching her goal. Book 2 has many challenges she faces during World War II. People say it's hard to put down. You can get Sad Eyes Book 2 at Amazon.com or JanCarrollPublishing.com and ask at Jan Carroll for a special deal if you buy both books.
That sound of the emergency squad happens 34 times per hour, 24/7 in the United States, carrying someone who is dying from a drug overdose to the ER. 70% of these runs are people who are dying from the vicious drug called fentanyl. Over the last 10 years, 1 million Americans have died from fentanyl. In 2019, 112,000 children ages 12 and 13 were on opioids. The fentanyl overdose rates are rising 2.5 times faster than that of heroin. Now there is an FDA-approved test for the presence of fentanyl in the system. The test is safe, simple, and 99.5% accurate. In just 5 minutes, you can find out if your child, loved one, or employee is using fentanyl. If you want to save someone's life, go to thefentanyltest.com and learn more about this dangerous drug and how you can get your 5-minute test and keep your child out of that squad.
All right, welcome back. Always a delight to have Dan Perkins with us. Check out his podcast, What's on My Mind podcast, one of the great ones out there. And also check out his romantic novel series called Sad Eyes, available online by Dan Perkins. I think you'll find those to be very entertaining. And he does have a couple of websites. DanPerkins.guru is his main site. Songs and Stories for Soldiers.us is a site where he works with veterans and does a good job. All right, so Dan, before I leave all this, there are a couple of little things here. It appears that, of course, President Zelensky goes to the meeting and says, we're not giving up any land. In fact, we want our land back. And I understand that's nothing more than a power positioning for negotiation. The right. fact of the matter is, Russia has taken over some territory, Crimea being one of the main ones. But when you look at the map, they actually have taken over. They have now in their control less than what they started with. And there is still a little area left, but it appears that the deal is those areas that they do have control there in eastern Ukraine, that they get to keep in exchange for peacekeeping people and troops or military or whatever to help protect any kind of invasion in the future. Or am I misreading it?
No, you're not misreading it at all. Donald Trump said yesterday, and he said it more than once in the last few weeks, one of the reasons why he wants to stop this war is that the carnage in this war has been over 1 million casualties. We have to go back to the Second World War to find casualties of those numbers. Mm-hmm. All the other stuff that's happened since then pales compared to what's happened in 3 years in Ukraine. And so he wants to stop that carnage. He wants to stop that the massacre of people, and he wants to treat both parties fairly. Understand that in a negotiation, each party, in order to have a successful negotiation, wants something, but also has to be willing to give up something. So each party has to find their compromise point. And I think that Zelensky will give up land if he's got physically has not only troops stationed in the country as peacekeepers, but at the same time, he has the assurances of the United States government and other countries that they will fall in behind him. So I'm not terribly concerned about the swapping of land in exchange for troops.
Okay. So President Trump still has what they call sticks and carrots. And the sticks being sanctions and tariffs in and around Russia or on Russia itself in order to make this deal happen. The carrot is they do get what real estate they now have conquered. The tricky part is Putin has outlived four administrations. So he can outlive Trump here, so to speak.
Right.
And reassume this in after 28 if he wanted to, unless some kind of peace deal it literally is negotiated.
That's true. But part of that analysis is that the left is making, for example, an assumption that whoever follows Trump will not be Trump. He will not be as successful in his business practices. He won't carry the same kind of voting information and votes that he got from blacks and minorities, and that the next Republican president is going to be much weaker than Donald Trump. I don't particularly buy that, but I understand the left is hoping that. So that Putin takes the risk, and if he miscalculates, and let's say J.D. Vance is the new president, and he continues the same aggressive posture as Donald Trump, Putin's going to be more concerned about dealing in his own protection. Keep in mind that when they get that, if they get that land that's been decimated, they're going to be responsible for rebuilding it. And it's going to cost their money to do it.
I think this work, China comes back into the picture. And the reason I say that is Russia's economy and Japan, or not Japan, China, Russia's economy and China's economies are both very, very shaky. It doesn't appear that Russia has the economic power to rebuild anything. And it's been demonstrated about how unsophisticated and weak their military is, only to be propped up by the Chinese.
Right. And the North Koreans, who walked away after they lost a good percentage of their troops.
Yeah. And in the meantime, Zelensky, with all his limitations, he sends over a bunch of drones, takes out a bunch of airplanes and ships. I mean, it's kind of embarrassing, don't you think?
Yes. No question. No question. You're right about both economies. And what's really important about what you're saying there is that I go back to what I said earlier in the program. If the European Union agrees to buy $750 billion of U.S. energy, and India has to forgo purchasing in order to get the tariffs down, it's possible that Russia could lose $1 trillion in 3 years or more to their coffers because of the crude oil and natural gas that's being bought from the United States.
Yeah.
That's going to have a tremendous, tremendous negative impact on the Russian economy.
And Russia cannot afford not to sell it to Europe. So there's another trap for them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been in Europe many, many, many times, and I'm amazed that you go across from France to Italy, to Germany, to Switzerland, all the Russian pipelines that run across the country where they're shipping oil and natural gas. And how many times have we heard that the concern was in Europe that Russia would turn off a switch during the winter and they'd have no oil or natural gas to heat their homes or run their factories? We take that away. We take that leverage away and give it back to the people of Europe, and we become the principal supplier of energy. It's a huge deal. And what's important about not only that deal, but what he's doing with tariffs, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, and you're going to have to write this down in permanent ink, because we're going to have to take 3.5 years to find out whether I'm right or not. Up until 1913, our government was financed based on tariffs. 1913, we put in the first income tax. I believe with the modifications that are going on trade and countries doing business with us that never did business with us and opportunities for us to do business with them, we could have, by the time Donald Trump leaves office, the elimination of the IRS and the tax law and simply live on tariffs.
You heard it first here.
Yes, sir.
Okay. One other quick thing. I'm going to change directions real quick. President Trump's crackdown on crime in Washington, D.C. What's your take?
Oh, there's a wonderful article that was in, I think, was on Fox News. I thought it was Wall Street Journal, but I could be wrong. But anyway, you can get it on Fox News. What was going on, Perry, is that when police were called to an incident, they make a quick assessment and said, this is an outright murder. So they are instructed to call the lieutenant in charge of the precinct, who then in turn, if he comes out there, calls the captain who comes out. And if it was a vicious murder, they degrade it, involuntary manslaughter. Why? Because they can cook the books on the numbers of reporting of violent crime in there. We have a situation in Washington, D.C., where if you are, it's the only place in the country that has this, Larry, or Perry, if you are 25 or under, you are treated as a minor for anything that you do as a minor offense. And so if you go out and kill somebody and you're 23 years of age, you are prosecuted as a minor and you get community service or maybe a little bit of detention or house arrest for a little bit, and then you're done. So we have a huge problem in Washington, D.C. of 12-year-olds to 17-year-olds who are hijacking cars.
Yeah.
To the tune that we had 2,000 so far this year, greater than the fastest growing crime was the fastest growing crime in Washington, D.C. The idea that this is a safe city is bullcrap. Well, and I know a lot of people who live there who no longer go downtown anymore. They don't go out at night anywhere in the district. It's not safe. Donald Trump is going to do that. And this latest story, one of you saw yesterday, Chicago.
Yeah. Not to mention cashless bail, and that's a whole other subject. Hey, good to see you. DanPerkins.guru is the website. Songs and Stories for Soldiers .us is a place that he has a great program to help veterans. And check out his historic romance novels known as Sad Eyes. You can get that online anywhere books are sold by Dan Perkins. Thank you, buddy. Good to see you.
Yes, sir. It's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
If you get caught, put me on your speed dial. I'll come get you.
A Trilogy Plus One by Dan Perkins, The Brotherhood of the Red Nile.
Dan, you owe me a good night's sleep, and I'm really aggravated about it. I read your books, The Brotherhood of the Red Nile, and I got to tell you, I no longer have to take any no-dos or anything like that when I want to stay awake. I just think about the plots of your books. They are absolutely frightening, devastating, in fact, but some of the best reads I've ever had, and I urge everyone to take a look at it. It's a plausible scenario and one that every American should be absolutely aware of.
Available at Amazon.com.